And here we go. There we go. Everybody, now clap. Yay! All right. That's a golf clap. All right. Well, good morning, man. Last week was awesome. I'm so grateful for Dom. Who loves the way Dominic preaches, right? I'm so grateful. Yeah, we can give him a hand there because Dominic is our pastoral resident, and he's learning and growing, and he's being stretched, and it's so awesome to give him this opportunity to preach. And last week, he did a great job bringing the word as we're in this series called Kingdom Prayer. We're talking about this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to recite it all together in just a minute. But we're talking about this kind of picture that God has his kingdom in heaven, and we're praying, lifting our prayers to his kingdom, and he's responding. That's the arrow down, that he is working and answers and moves as we pray. And so when Jesus taught this is how you should pray, he was giving us a picture. Like, this is what this kingdom interaction looks like. This kingdom that we're in interacting with God's kingdom in heaven. And so we're really digging into it. I was grateful. Nikki started the series with the first part of the prayer, which was hallowed be your name, that God is big. He's in his holiness. He's other than anything else. Like, he is set apart, right? And so when we pray, we know who we're coming to, his holy presence. And there should be an awe and a wonder for us whenever we get to enter into his presence in prayer. And then I talked about your will be done, right? That it's about God's will, not my will, right? It's him and bringing his kingdom to this earth. And the question, the challenge was, how are you occupying your space, right? When you occupy your space, I got a week off and I'm not going to preach well. So I'm just kidding. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to play with some fire. It's going to be awesome. Literally. So now you're getting excited about that, aren't you? There's a lighter here. Woo! You're not excited. I thought you'd be excited about that. So I was talking about occupying your space, right? That we're supposed to look like the kingdom of heaven, whatever space we're in. So wherever we are, it should look a little more like heaven than it did before, right? That's that prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And last week, we brought out the lunch boxes, right? And we called it like lunch box or life box. And we were talking about what we put in our lunches, you know, compared to what our parents, they were trying to give us nutrition and the healthy things and right things. And Dom was talking about how Jesus puts the right things in our box, right? That Jesus is enough for today. I loved how much he repeated it, because we need to hear it quite often, don't we? Jesus is enough for today. He's given us everything we need in the lunchbox, in our life box. And the cool thing with this lunchbox, one thing I was thinking about that's in this is his grace every day, right? God's grace and his mercy. Actually, there's this verse that is a good verse to start your day with, Lamentations 3:22-23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Another verse that says his mercies never fail, right? They are new when? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful. God shows up in our lunchbox every day. His grace is new every morning. His compassion and faithfulness, his love is new. His mercy is every single morning. He gives us our life box. And so that's an encouragement for us today, okay? Now, as we talk more about this, I'll get back to this in just a minute, our life and our life box, let's get back into the Lord's Prayer, all right? We're going to read it all together again out loud, and maybe you've started to memorize it because we've been repeating it, but this is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, okay? So here we go. Let's just start right at the beginning. Everybody all together, okay? Here we go. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now today, we're talking about and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We're in verse 12. Next week, we're going to wrap up with verse 13, which that one is a deep one, okay? So next week, you're going to hear some deep teaching on that, on what that means. Today, we are here in verse 12 of the Lord's Prayer. Now, has anybody in this room ever owed money on something and it was more than you could actually afford?
Have you ever been in a situation like that? Like, I know I have been in that situation. And that is a stressful place to be. Back in the day, Tim worked at a car dealership. And I worked at a couple different car dealerships. Actually, it was kind of interesting. I worked at a Chevy dealership. I quit there for a reason. And then I went to work at a Ford dealership, which is like the enemy, right? So, like, I was on both sides of the battle. I won't tell you which one I like better. So I was a salesman. I like working at one more than the other. I was a salesman, and there would be so many times when people would come in and they would want to trade in their vehicle. And when you started working a deal out with them, trying to, okay, they like this car, they found this car, it's a good car for their family, and they're trading in this vehicle, then we say, okay, do you owe anything on your current vehicle? So often, they owed way more than that vehicle was worth. They were upside down. So, like, they have a vehicle that they still owe, like, $15,000 on, but it's only worth $8,000. Ouch. And so what dealers would have to do, and they'd work with finance companies, they would roll over the negative equity into the new loan for the car they're buying. And so they'd get a new loan that was still more than the value of the new car that they were buying. And so they just rolled that debt back over. Now, did you know when you drive off the lot with that car, it does not increase in value. It decreases rapidly, especially if it's a brand new car. Some people buy brand new cars. This is not a finance talk, by the way. But I can give you all sorts of details on how to do this right, okay? But what ends up happening, a brand new car, you drive off the lot, boom, thousands of dollars just came off the vehicle. So if you turn around even like a week later and try to trade it in, you're losing in that exchange. And so these people were upside down. Now, if they got that new loan and then they couldn't even afford the payment on the new loan for the car that they didn't have negative equity on, this is a lose-lose situation. Because eventually they're going to stop paying because groceries are more important than a car payment that they couldn't afford in the beginning. And then they would lose the car because it gets repossessed, but they'd still have fees that they have to pay on top of whatever they lost. It gets crazy, y'all. I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but when you're in that kind of debt, it is stressful. It can consume you. And so when we're talking about today debt, you know, the verse says, forgive us our debts as we forgive the debts of others. He's not talking about money, okay? He's not like, okay, this is a financial prayer. You know, like, God, okay, if anybody owes me anything, you know, I'll erase that since somehow you're going to erase all my debts, and so I'm going to be debt-free, right? Like, he's not talking about money. He's talking about something way more powerful and way more deep than that, because he's talking about our spiritual debt of sin, right? So let's talk about our debt of sin. Let's jump in our life box here, okay? And I have some questions for you. There's still a mirror in here. Ooh, we're going to get to that. That's for me to check my makeup. I forgot to do that before I came on stage. So let me ask you some questions because I think all of us in this room have a spiritual sin debt, okay? So let me ask you this question. Have any of you ever disobeyed your parents? Just show a hand. We're all in. We're going to show our sin. All right? Okay. You've ever disobeyed your parents? That is a sin. Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Kind of the top 10, right? Okay? So disobeying your parents is on the list. Did you know that? Some of you kids in the room, just so you know, your parents know that, okay? And if they haven't told you, it's on the list. And what happens is when we disobey our parents, that sin goes into our life box, okay? Now it's in there. It's a debt. Have any of you ever lied about anything? Just show of hands. Anybody lied about anything, right? And some of you are like, well, my wife asked me if she looked good. Like, counseling later, all right? So, all right, we put that. Now we've done it. It's been done. It's finished. We lied. It's in our life box. The debt has now just got a little deeper of sin in our life. Have you ever cheated on anything? On a test? On your taxes? I just wanted to see if anybody's hand went up right when I said taxes. All right, cheated on, I'm going to end there. How about that? Cheated, right? Like, you've done something you know you shouldn't have done to get something that you didn't deserve. That's cheating, right? Cheating, boom. So now that you've done that, that goes in your sin debt. It's adding up, isn't it? Now, this one's tricky because I'm going to say, raise your hand. Has anybody ever lusted? Okay, I'm going to see the honest people. Now, we're getting real serious. It's like, and the answer is yes, you have at some point or another. Have wanted and desired something that didn't belong to you or someone that didn't belong to you. That's lust, right? That goes in to the sin box. Now, you're thinking, okay, you know, disobeying my parents, yeah, that's one thing. Lusting is another. They're all sin. Like when it comes to debt, it's all debt. That's what sin is, right? Have you ever coveted anything? Like, have you ever seen something somebody else had and really, really wanted it? And you started researching it and show a hand. Anybody coveting something? This time of year is like the worst time to do that. It's like shopping season. So you're like, oh yeah, I got to have that, right? Have you ever spoken about anybody that you shouldn't have spoken about? Have you gossiped about anybody, right? Okay. Man, all of our life box is getting pretty full, isn't it? Like, this is what he's talking about. We have a debt of sin in our lives. All of us do. Every single one of us walks around carrying these things, and some of us, it's a daily occurrence, right? Some of us, not some of us, all of us are adding things to our sin life box every day. We're not perfect, okay? But that debt, as you get older and as you grow more, doesn't go down anymore. It just keeps growing because we keep on sinning. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. Now, the Israelites, we're kind of going back and forth, storing through the Israelites in Egypt and them walking into freedom, into the desert, and into the promised land, right? And so we're walking through that alongside this prayer because the Israelites were in a season where they were living in debt, but they were in debt of slavery, meaning they were being controlled by this other nation in Egypt, and Pharaoh was controlling them as Israelites. And God said, that's not cool. Those are my people, and they're not supposed to be under anybody but me. And so he goes in and he wants to set them free. And we see God's heart when he's talking about this whole idea of debt, okay? Debt of sin. Because God has a heart for all of us. So in this story in the Israelites, we see him speak directly to them through Moses. Moses is God's mouthpiece to all these people. And then he leads them, right? And so Big Mo is up there and he's like, what should I tell them, God? Like, they are going to listen to me and you're going to be talking through me. What do you want to say? And then this is what he says. In Exodus chapter 6, he says, tell them this, I am the Lord. That's a good place to start. Capital L, like he's large and in charge, capital L, Lord. Like, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Now listen to these promises. I will free you from being slaves to them. Meaning that debt in slavery, he's like, I'm pulling you out of that debt. You're not going to have to live in that anymore. I'm freeing you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. There's these great promises that he made then that he still makes today that are attached to this prayer. Forgive us our debts. He is all about freeing and redeeming. That's what he does. That's the story. The problem, though, is that when he wants to free and redeem, we still choose to put ourselves in bond and slave into things. Or Satan tempts us and we walk into that temptation and walk into that sin and bond ourselves to things that are other than God's freedom and redemption. Has anybody ever lived there before? it's that whole thing where Paul says, I don't do the thing I want to do, but I keep doing things I don't want to do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. He's like, there's that struggle and that tension. And yet God is saying, I know that struggle. That's Jesus lived in every temptation we lived in. Did you know that? And he gives us, by example, how to walk out of them, how to live a holy life, a set-apart life, to live a freed life. And he then has shown us this heart of God for all of us to free us, meaning he wants to pay our debt of sin, and then redeem us. How does that work? What does redemption mean? What does that look like? And why do I keep trying to bind myself to the things that are this stuff that I put in my life box over and over and over again? Do you ever get ticked off at yourself? I get a bigger amen on that one, right? It's like, it just can get so frustrating. There's this prayer in Psalm 130. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. It says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? Remember the first part of the prayer. What was it? Hallowed be your name. Holy is God. If anybody comes with their life box full of sin to a holy God, how in the world could any of us stand? None of us could. None of us could. Oh, this is so good. You ready? Because it doesn't stop at verse 3. There's a verse 4. Say, I'm excited about verse 4. Say verse 4. Verse 4. All right, this is verse 4 because then it says, but with you. I love it when there's a big but, right? When it's like, but that's not how it is. We don't have to walk around with this and be like, I can't get into your holy presence, God. I look at my sin. Look at how ugly I am. Look at how broken. Look how I keep getting back to this stupid thing that I'm bonding myself with that isn't yours. Look at what I do. And he's like, no, but with you, God, there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. There is forgiveness. This is the good news, guys. This is the first part of this verse and in this prayer. It's like, forgive us our debts. We have a debt. All of us have a debt of sin. But there's three words that change the world. Three words that Jesus said to all of us. Say this out loud with me. I forgive you. Quote Jesus. And Jesus sees all the junk, all the sin in our box, and he says, I paid for it. That debt, when I say this to you, and you accept it as a gift from me, and I cover that sin up. Now here's the cool part. When he covers things up, are you ready for it? When he covers it up, it no longer exists. God's life box, when it is forgiven, is forgiven. It's gone. I can't shake it out of there. Amen? Like, but with you, God, there is, say it with me, there is forgiveness. When he says, I forgive you, it's forgiven. It's erased. He's covered it. It is out of your life box. The guilt can be gone. The shame attached to it, when you get into his presence, erased. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The debt you were supposed to pay with your own death, Jesus paid with his death. The perfect sacrifice for me, an imperfect person. His righteousness in exchange for him paying for my sin does not seem like a good deal to me if I were God. But God said, but that's the deal I'm making because I want them with me. That is the gospel. When we pray, forgive us our debts. I mean, if you had debt today, financial debt, and I came up to you and said, hey, by the way, all your debt, your mortgage, that car that you're upside down on, I'm just going to pay for that today. What would that do in your life? You'd walk a little lighter, wouldn't you? And here's the thing. That's just money. It's here today and gone tomorrow. I can actually help you make wise decisions with your money so you don't have to be in debt. There's choices you can make to do that. But when we're talking about our debt of sin, when you truly and fully, and when you pray a prayer like this, God, forgive us our debts. Please forgive me immediately. You should walk a little bit lighter because you know it's been forgiven. It's already been paid for. I only have two fill in the blanks this morning, and this is the first one. Jesus Christ paid our debt on the cross. That means our sins are forever forgiven. Amen? Amen. Jesus did it for us. He paid our debt. We should have. We didn't. He did. And so our sins are, and this is a powerful word in this sentence, our sins are forever forgiven. It's not like God's going to be like, oh, you know what you did last Tuesday? I remember that, and I'm going to hold that one against you. It's like, no. You know, remember that sin that you did, and then you asked for forgiveness? I remember it, but I forgive you for it. That means it's not going to come up again. I'm not going to bring it up to you again. There's things that come with forgiveness. I'm going to talk about those by the end of the sermon, okay? The forgiveness that we can get and the forgiveness that we can choose to give, okay? So that's the first part, all right? Part number one, God has forgiven you. And he's paid your debt of sin, and he's done it once and for all and forever. Good news, okay? Now, that's just the first half of this verse, because it doesn't end there, right? So I think I put it back up here. And forgive us our debts, okay? Check, done, off the list, okay? Now, here's the thing. If you still sin against him, just so you know, ask him for forgiveness again. That's, I think that's why it's in the prayer, right? It's like, it's a reminder that like I am still a sinner. And so if I have sinned against God or somebody else and I come back to praying to him, it is a good practice to say, God, yesterday I messed up. Please forgive me of that. Because what it does is it a constant reminder that now it's forgiven. It's done, right? But what happens is we do something, we sin, and we don't even talk to God about it. We don't talk to others. And then we start carrying the guilt on it. And we carry the brokenness in a relationship on it. Forgiveness changes all that. So when you pray, God, please forgive me for my sins. He says, the moment you ask, it's done. Okay? That's the first half. The second half, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Can we just have the first part of that one in there? Can we just have the God forgive me? We're good. All right, check. All right. I'm going to keep living life now. You know, like just keep on with my list. And he's like, no. See, with each one of these prayers, there's the God's part and then there's the our part, right? This prayer is not just one way. It's interactive. It's God forgive me and now help me forgive others. That's the next step. And this almost sounds, if you read later in the chapter there, it almost sounds like there's a contingency. Okay, because at the end he says, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought Tim said forgiveness was once and for all, and it's done forever. Why, and later is Jesus in this chapter saying, but if you don't do it, God's not going to forgive you. Like, what is going on? It sounds like a contingency. Like, I've got to do this to earn this. Right? The only place I've heard of or worked with anything that has contingencies is buying and selling houses, right? I don't know if you've ever sold a house and somebody's buying your house, but there's a contingency. And usually what that means is they have something they needed to take care of before they can buy your house. It might be that their house is still for sale, it hasn't sold yet, so they put an offer to buy your house, but the contingency is we can only buy it if our house sells in the next 30 days, right? And so that is now on the contract, a contingency. This will happen as long as that happens. And so when you read a verse like this or you hear this, like, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, is there a contingency here? Like, I have to forgive others in order to get the forgiveness? Is it a earned kind of thing? And the thing is, when Jesus was teaching this, it's very interesting as I was studying this week, that when Jesus was teaching this, he was still alive, right? Meaning the final sacrifice had not been given yet. This is pre-Jesus dying on the cross for everybody's sins. So Jesus is teaching the kingdom of heaven, right? And so we see all through the Gospels, Jesus, that's what he's doing. He's like, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And this is what God looks like. And he's teaching to these religious people what it looks like to pray and then what it looks like to forgive somebody. And he's giving them this picture because ultimate forgiveness had not been given yet by Jesus Christ on the cross. Are you following me? And so when he's teaching, he's giving them this picture. The kingdom of heaven looks like forgiveness. And so you should be forgiving. If you're not a forgiving person, why would God forgive you? This is pre-debt paid. Okay? And so we see this tension, but then we see him teaching through the Gospels as Jesus is teaching others. He's given these pictures of what forgiveness looks like in the kingdom of heaven. Like there's this one scene where the religious leaders are continually trying to trip up Jesus, right? They're trying to like make him trip up on the law so they can like, we knew it, blasphemy, and then like pull him aside and arrest him. Like they kept trying to trick him. And so one night, all these religious leaders went and found a woman caught in adultery. I don't know how they caught her, right? It's like, let's go look for a woman in adultery. You know, that's a weird thing to do in a night. And so I'm thinking they set up the scene and they knew this was going to happen. They caught this woman in the midst of adultery, brings her in front of Jesus as a test. What are you going to do to her, Jesus? Because the law says when she's caught, she's supposed to be stoned and killed on the spot. That's the Old Testament law. How many are glad we don't live in the Old Testament law? We live in a different time after Jesus has paid for all of our sin. And then Jesus gives this picture, okay? Because he starts writing in the ground. We don't know what he's writing. He's drawing something. And one by one, each of these religious leaders start walking away and leaving. Theologians are trying to guess what he started. I'm thinking, and this is just Tim, I'm wondering if he started writing the sins of all the other people. Like, oh Bill. Oh, and starts writing it out. And he says, those who are without sin cast the first stone. Have you ever heard that phrase before? None of them could throw it because they all realize they have sin in their box. And then it's just him and this woman. And he says, where are your accusers? He said, they've all gone away. He says, go and sin no more. Right? He gives her a challenge. Like, what you're doing was wrong. He doesn't just be like, oh yeah, you can keep doing that. He's like, no. You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. I'm pulling it out of your life box. Now don't go put it back in, is what he says to her. But he shows forgiveness in that scene. We see later on, there's also these other stories where a bunch of friends had a friend who was paralyzed, and Jesus was hanging out in the house, and it was packed, and they want to get him to Jesus because they knew Jesus is healing people. And this paralyzed friend, they lower him from the ceiling. You guys know this story? And they lower him on a mat, boom, right in front of Jesus. All of the religious leaders are wondering, what is he going to do? Because it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, and healing somebody is work, okay? And so they're like, you can't do that, you know? And he's like, oh, watch me, right? And so he heals this man, and he stands up. But then he goes to the next level, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Now all these religious leaders are ticked off because they're like, who is this that has the power to forgive sins? And Jesus is saying, I come from a different kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is all about forgiveness. He keeps giving these pictures. Have you ever heard the story of the prodigal son? This son, Jesus tells this story, and he's trying to explain the kingdom of heaven. He tells all these people, it's kind of like this, the kingdom of heaven. There was a son who demanded his inheritance from his father, even though his father was still alive. You didn't do that. And he took the inheritance and said, see ya, left the family farm, the family business, went and squandered every penny of it, wasted his life on living it up to the point he was destitute and poor and eaten with the pigs until he figured out, man, I am the worst of the worst. Maybe if I just go back to my dad and ask for a job. I mean, his servants are living better than I am now. And he comes back to the family farm, and this is the image of the kingdom of heaven. The father sees him a long way off, and he starts sprinting for his son, running as fast as he can, and he throws his robe around him, and he puts the family ring on his finger and says, my son is home. Come on, let's throw a party. Jesus keeps teaching while he's still on this earth. The kingdom of heaven is all about forgiveness, radical forgiveness. And so then you get into Colossians, okay? This now is in the New Testament. This is after Jesus died on the cross. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's all of us now. It's not just the Israelites like in the Old Testament, like, all of us are a part of this family of God. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Do you hear that? Like that father when the son came home, like running for you. Clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the fruit of the Spirit. When we start looking more like Jesus, this is what we start looking like. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And it says, bear with each other. Have you ever had to bear with somebody else today, right? Like on the way to, how many of you argued in your car on your way to church? All right, I'm not seeing any hands, but it happens. Bear with each other and do what? Say it with me, and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive how? As the Lord forgave you. Holy cow. But God, you don't know what's in their life box against me. You don't know what they've been doing to me, the sins that are in their box that they keep coming back and they keep hurting me. Like, what are you talking about, God? That seems a little ridiculous. And then God says, I'm sorry, open your life box for me. What have I done for you? All of it's gone. All of it's forgiven. I paid for it. I'm just asking now, can you do the same? As much as you have been given, as much as you have been forgiven, as much as you have put in your life box, that has now been poof, gone. No longer in the record in the kingdom of heaven, can you forgive someone else? Okay, because we have been forgiven, we choose, listen to this, we choose to forgive everyone who sins against us. This is in there, guys. It's in the Bible. Jesus said it first, and then it got repeated all through the New Testament. He said, I've forgiven you, now you go forgive others. Last week, you remember, this was the mirror that got pulled out of the box, right? It's a pretty small mirror. And I loved the end of the message because Dom was talking about we now get the chance to reflect God, right? We get the chance to be that reflection of God. I needed a little bit bigger mirror than that, so I grabbed a bigger mirror. Okay, so this one wouldn't fit in the lunchbox. All right, who can I blind? Is that really bright? All right, that's what I look at when I'm preaching at you, just so you know. I can still see your faces. See, when we look in the mirror and we see us, right? Kind of going back to this illustration here. When we see ourselves in the mirror, we still see sin, right? That's what I was talking about earlier. Every day, his mercies are new. How often? Every morning. Every morning. His forgiveness is renewed. When? Every morning. His love for us, where is it? Every morning. It's like when we see ourselves in our brokenness, he every morning says, I forgive you. Every morning. And the opportunity we have now when we're praying a prayer like this, God, forgive us our debts, forgive us our debt of sin, please, every day. Make that new every day. I'll confess every day if there's sin in my life. And so when you say to me, God, now all he is saying is, the measure I have done that for you, now you get the opportunity to reflect that to them. That's the opportunity we get every day. I was forgiven, now I forgive you. This is the hard part, isn't it? This is like the struggle. This is the, but Tim, you don't know what they did. You're right, I don't know what they did. I have plenty that I can tell you what did to me. Plenty. People who are good Christian folk who sinned deeply against me that I've talked to counselors about multiple times. And I've gotten help from other people to help me understand what does this look like in the depths of that hurt. It's usually not the light stuff, right? Usually the small stuff that we live in is just the things that, like, well, I have enough grace to cover that they didn't put the toilet seat down. All right, so like I forgive you for that, right? Today, like, or that, you know, it's all that little stuff, right? That are more annoyances that you have to forgive somebody for. And that's that bearing with one another kind of a thing. And usually those are based on opinion, anyways. It's not like anything deep. Those ones we can kind of like, okay, I can see that covering up. But it's those deep offenses that now have been with you for years, or maybe they just happen and they're fresh. And it's like every night, it's what you think about. Right? And it's a struggle. It's this emotional struggle. It's this thought life struggle. See, when we choose to forgive, we're choosing to do some very powerful things, okay? I'm going to get very practical. And I've taught on this before, and if you've heard this message before, this is just a reminder of what it means to forgive, okay? Because this is what forgiveness means. If I forgive somebody, it means I release you from my judgment. When I don't want to forgive somebody, it means I have a plan for what they deserve, right? Like, judgment is, they did this to me, so they better get that, you know? Like they sinned against me in this way, and so I hope that this happens to them, because that's what they deserve, right? That's judgment, and that's a natural thing for justice, but the problem is we are not good judges, and we don't actually ever deliver justice. If we do, oh, it magnifies the problem when we seek our own justice in a situation. When I forgive you, it means I release you from my judgment. I drop the gavel, and no longer am I the one who's in charge of justice in your life. I give that to God, right? God is the ultimate judge of that person's life, and he may do something way more creative than I could think of. Sometimes some people need to be really broken, and maybe God wants to take them on a journey of some deep brokenness, or maybe that moment won't happen until they see Jesus. But all I know, it's not on me. I drop the gavel. When I forgive somebody, it means I will no longer hold this against you. I talk about in communication, we have these four laws of communication that we teach on, and one of the laws is not stockpiling ammunition, right? Because that's what unforgiveness is. It's stockpiling ammunition against that person, put it in your backpack. So when something happens with that person, or something they do something to somebody else, you're ready to go, ha ha, I got some ammo in that one, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, and you just start gunning them down with all this junk that you've carried, and you're keeping this record of wrongs, right? And what you're saying, when I say I forgive you, I'm not bringing it up. I'm not going to hold it against you. Meaning, I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm not going to use it for later arguments. I'm setting it down, right? And the last one, I will not bring this up in the future. And this is the tricky one. I will not bring this up to you. I will not bring this up to anybody else. And I'll choose to not even think about it. That's where it gets really hard. When you say, I forgive you, you're releasing them from the judgment from you. You're releasing them from ever bringing it up again in any issue in that person's life, and you're not going to hold it against them. This is tricky. For sometimes to get to this point with somebody, sometimes you need some others. That's why I'm grateful that this prayer, I don't know if you've noticed this in the Lord's Prayer, okay? Let me read it again, and let me see if you hear a key word. I'll say it really loud. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Did you hear the emphasis? This is a collective prayer. I need you to help me forgive somebody else. You need the person next to you to help you forgive somebody else. This is a community thing. This is where we spur each other on. This is where we help each other and encourage one. This is where a good biblical counselor can come into your life and say, let me help you on that journey to forgive somebody else so that you're not carrying their lunchbox with you, because that's what happens. If I don't forgive them, I carry their sins now with me, and now it's extra weight on my life because I think I'm the judge. I'm holding their box. Nothing good comes from that in your life. It's going to steal your life. We need each other to do this. You need some other people to help you. If you're struggling with forgiving somebody, talk to some other people. Have them join you in that journey. Somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game, meaning somebody that doesn't know that person is probably wise, so they can speak truth and they're not emotionally attached to like, they did not, right? Like if you have those friends, stay clear of those friends, right? Like don't go to them with like, oh, do you know what they did? I'm going to go slash their tires. You know, like that's a bad friend, okay? Find the friends that'll help you, learn to forgive others, okay? So this is what it means. And this is a myth. Forgive and forget. That is a myth. That is not in scripture anywhere, okay? And when people say, you know, God forgives you and he forgets. No, he doesn't. God is incapable of forgetting. God is perfect. God chooses not to hold it against you, okay? He knows what you've done. To forgive you of your sin doesn't mean, well, I forgot. Because what happens for a lot of people is if somebody sins against you, and maybe that person comes and says, I'm sorry I did that. Will you forgive me? It might be like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It wasn't a big deal. That's this. That's like, oh, I'm just choosing to forgive and forget. It's like, no. When they sinned against you, it was a big deal. Something broke in your relationship when they sinned against you, right? So you can't just gloss over it like, oh, don't worry, I'm just going to forget about it. It's like, no, it did hurt, and I don't want it to be between us. And so you're asking for it? Man, when somebody asks you for forgiveness, when you get to give it, oh, what a beautiful thing in a relationship. Usually friendships and relationships can get deeper when that happens. When there's admittance, asking for forgiveness, and then the giving, that's called reconciliation. That's always God's dream for forgiveness. That's why he did what he did. He reconciled us to him. Does it always happen in this world with other people? No, it's unfortunate. It doesn't. There's people who will never ask me for forgiveness for what they've done in my life, but I still have forgiven them. And if they ever did come up and ask me, it would be a quick, yeah, absolutely. Right? Because I've already released. I've already stopped talking about it to other people. I've already taken the steps to be healthy with that person. So forgiving and forgetting. Forgetting, it's not possible. You can't just erase those things from your mind. But what you can choose to do is not let that offense run the relationship or run you. Don't just gloss over the offense. It wasn't a big deal. Like, it was a big deal. You can forgive and create healthy boundaries, meaning if there's somebody who continually is sinning against you over and over and over and over again, Jesus said forgive them over and over and over again, yes, but you can create a boundary, meaning I'm not going to let you keep abusing me this way. That's now on me, right? If I'm not that smart, you can create a boundary and say, we're not going to be friends, or I'm not going to spend time with you, but I do forgive you. It's okay to create a boundary. It's okay to remember what they did, but not hold it against them, right? That's called wisdom. There are always consequences to sin. And forgiveness never erases the consequence. I can forgive somebody, but that relationship may never be the same again, right? When I sin against God, there are still consequences in my relationship with God when I sin against him. Even when I say, God, will you forgive me? He forgives me, but I have to live in the consequence of whatever that sin was, right? It doesn't erase the consequence. And there's always three parties involved. There's God, there's you, and there's them. Who are you responsible for? You, that's it. You're not responsible for them. You're not responsible for God. You can't control God. All you can do is do what you're told to do. Forgive, right? Release and let that go. We need people to help us to forgive others, to bring it out of us, to speak it out, to confess sin, and to seek forgiveness in our lives. God, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. There's a lot of depth to it now, isn't there? God, thank you for this word. I pray, God, that it will continue to work in our lives, that whatever you want to do in us right now, God, as we take some time to respond, I pray that we would listen. So I have a few questions for us as we wrap this up and as we take some time to challenge, to walk into challenge. The first one is the most important one. Have you fully accepted God's forgiveness in your life? There's a phrase people use, and I get what they're trying to say when they say it. It's not in the Bible. People say, I haven't forgiven myself yet, or I can't forgive myself. And the reality is you can't forgive yourself. You're right. It's not an option. The actual biblical way to think about it is, can you receive fully God's forgiveness for you? That's the truth. Like, if you've sinned against somebody or God, have you confessed your sin to him? Have you asked and sought for forgiveness? And if it's from God and you've done that, it's gone. The question is, have you fully accepted God's forgiveness for you? Or are you still carrying your life box of sins? Maybe it's been cleared, but you still feel like you're guilty. Guilty as charged, uncondemned. Today, receive fully the grace and forgiveness of God and ask him for it. Say, God, I want to know fully to the depths of my heart and my being that I have been forgiven by you, my Heavenly Father. And let him prove it to you. That's challenge number one. Second challenge is this. Who do you need to fully forgive? If you have something to write some things down with, if you got a pen, if you got a piece of paper, I want you to do this. I want you to make a list. List number one, okay? And you can do this today, or maybe you do it this week. List number one is all the sins God has forgiven you of. Dang it, that's a long list, Tim. I know. So start writing, right? And start hopping to it. And just start writing. God has forgiven me for all of these sins. Just start listing. And they might be big, they might be small, they might be the Ten Commandments, they might be like relationships. Like, just start writing them, okay, on the left side of a piece of paper. Okay? And then what I want you to do is go to the right side of the paper. And I want you to list the names of the people or situations you need to forgive that you haven't. Okay? That's your homework. And as you do it, I want you to be asking, Heavenly Father, reveal to me, show me, help me forgive my debts as I've also forgiven my debtors. And let him lead you on that, okay? That's your homework. Have you fully accepted God's forgiveness in your life? And who do you need to fully forgive? This is a very practical step this morning that you can take this week to live this out in your life. I'm going to close this in prayer. And at the end of this morning, after we've done announcements and things like that, I'm actually going to ask, and this is after the gathering, I'm going to ask Nikki and Pastor Jim to stay up front just after the gathering, and I'll be up here too after the gathering. And if you need to talk to somebody about something, okay, we would love to just have a conversation with you. If you need help on that next step, please come up and get that help so that we can help you, our Father, help us, right? That we can help you on that journey, because we don't want you to go it alone if you need some help on that journey. So let me wrap us up in prayer. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that your grace and forgiveness is new every morning. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for sending your Son to pay for our debt of sin. God, this morning, I pray for anybody in this room that doesn't know it and doesn't know you yet, and they've been carrying their sin box. I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, just wrestle them. Wrestle with them, God. Like lead them. Help them know you're real and that you're here and that you're working, that they may experience salvation in their life today. They just have to confess with their mouth that they want Jesus as their Savior, God, and that's what you've said. And invite him in. Receive the gift of salvation. A gift can only be received when our hands are open. So open some hands this morning to receive your gift of salvation. I pray, God, if any of us are holding things against others, if any of us are trying to live in unforgiveness towards others, I pray by the power and the name of Jesus Christ, you'll break those bonds and that you'll teach us and show us how to forgive and how to let you be in charge as the perfect judge in other people's lives, not us. God, thank you for this word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Awesome.